Great day, my dear, sweet supporters. Guess who's back? You got it, your girl Jewel. Auntie Jewel is back in the building, and welcome back to our globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. As always, guys, I remind you that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion, always grounded in faith and honor of our Father. Here we discuss various topics related to supporting communities in all walks of life as we are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life-learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. So I want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast, support all of my guests, their feedback, and to, most importantly, donate whenever you can because every little contribution helps.
Amen.
Okay, guys. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, guys, so you guys know our ground rules, right? And with that said, we're going to dive right into our topic for this week, which is heavy. Our topic this week is, let's get ready for the last hurrah. Hmm. Hey, hurrah, hurrah. Yes, guys, this is it. We're going to talk about it. It's going to open a lot of your hearts, minds, and it's going to be a big revelation, to say the least. But without further ado, I want to welcome back our favorite guest host, Brother Thomas, is here with us. Welcome, Brother Thomas.
Thank you, Jewel. It's good to be here again. I'm just glad that we're getting off to, I guess, are we into Wednesday yet? I don't think so, but almost. And it's almost hump day. Or was this Wednesday? I can't remember. Is this Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Okay,
yes,
so we're hump day. Woohoo! Yes. We made it to hump day, people. I think that's
pretty
bold, but anyway, in my opinion, I don't know why they said it hump day. I would say in the middle or yeah, we're in the midst or whatever, but what they came up with was weird. Anyway, we're here. We're halfway to the finish line. So how about that?
That's right. You know, we're always so thankful and grateful to have you back, Brother Thomas.
Thank
it
you.
Seems like every time you're on, we get more and more commentary and feedback, and people do appreciate
Good.
Your authenticity. I don't think we had a lot of male guests when I started these prayer calls about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people were asking me, where's the male
perspective?
And so we get
mm-hmm.
that. We definitely get that from you, and we also
get the
authentic emotion of
thank
some
you.
Of the trials and tribulations that men have to deal with that sometimes
yeah.
is not an easy
no.
thing to talk about and navigate through. So we appreciate that.
No.
And you, Brother Thomas. Okay.
Thank you.
So, back to our topic for today, which is let's get ready for the last hurrah. Hey, sarah, sarah. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited about this topic. Brother Thomas is going to read our scripture, as he typically does, which is Joel Chapter 2, verses 12-32,
yep.
Which I think aligns so well with today's topic. So will you grace us with that scripture, Brother Thomas?
Certainly I will. Thank you, Jewel. All right, so it is Joel 2, 12-32. All right, here we go. And we're reading from the New King James Version, in case y'all like to know what it's about. And it's a call to repentance. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, and let the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach. Rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? The land refreshed. And then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army, and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land, and his face toward the eastern sea, and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up, and his foul odor will rise, because he has done monstrous things. Sounds so familiar. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall be overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. God's Spirit poured out. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my maidservants and my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth. Wow, we're seeing all this. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. And the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. People, it's right upon us. It's right here. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name shall be saved. We must call on the name of God. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be a deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Thomas, for reading that powerful scripture. I know sometimes we tend to overlook Joel in the Bible. I don't really hear much people talk about it, but that particular scripture is so timely with what we're seeing today. Don't you agree, Brother Thomas?
Oh, my God, yes. Especially, Jewel, if we talk about that we have the black sun. Well, we do. Y'all, I think I've alluded to this several times about the sunflowers. Go out and look at the plants outside. Look at the growth of the plants. They're stunted. And why? Why are we not getting a good growth? In other words, what is reasoning is because we're going to have famine. We're not getting crops this year. They're going to be few and far between. So the sunflowers, they're not even looking at that sun because they know it's not real. It's not the real sun. So there's the black sun. And then we've just recently, a couple of days ago, people had the what they call the red moon, the blood moon.
We had the blood moon, which was mentioned. We also had the eclipse not too long ago.
Yes, but the eclipse, right, the eclipse was truly not what we know an eclipse to be. It's a fake eclipse, but it's been used. And so I saw something, Jewel, and I maybe interject this in. So there was something about the hurricane. The one that we, what was the name of it? Start with a B. Do you remember the name of it?
Was it Beryl?
Beryl. Okay. Do y'all know that Beryl track as the eclipse? Are y'all aware of that? It did. So what God has done is by using this torrential storm that caused a lot of damage, and Beryl went up the Mississippi River. So it tracked even to the east of the Mississippi River, and it turned, you know, like, but it followed the same path as the eclipse. Now, how could a storm that came at the time it did, was so many months after we had the eclipse, Jewel? Why is that significant? Why? Because realize this path that this eclipse went through. Do you know the majority of the cities that it tracked over? Guess what the name of those cities were or towns? Nineveh. So who in your Bible days, Jewel, do you remember about Nineveh?
Uh-huh.
Jonah and the whale.
Uh-huh.
Jonah was told, and he said, no, sir, I'm not going. He said, you know, well, sir, God said, you need to go to Nineveh. He said, I ain't going. So he went against God, as we all sometimes do. And he decided he'd take matters into his own hands. And so he gets in a fishing boat. So last man in, first man out. You've heard that expression before. I think this holds true for it. So Jonah was the last man on this boat, and they came across a bad old storm, really bad storm. And the men started talking amongst each other and said, hold on, we were fine until this man came on board. We didn't have no trouble. So they started pointing fingers at him saying, you're the one. You causing us to have all this. We're going to die. We're going to perish because of you. So they threw him overboard. Well, who was there to catch him? A whale. So let's make this story faster. So the whale came along, swallowed Jonah. Jonah was there 40 days, 40 nights. Finally, he said, Lord, I give up. He said, finally, I'm glad you do. I mean, you know, how long are you going to wait? Keep me waiting. Okay. So then he lets him out. The whale lets him out on the shores of Nineveh. So he goes to the city of Nineveh, and he preaches to the people there, and he says, people, you've got to get your act together. You got 40 days to get your act together. Otherwise, God's going to come and destroy this whole thing because of the iniquity, the sin, the blasphemy, everything. And which all of these things, people, we've got going on right now. I mean, look at what's happening with Hollyweird. I heard someone call it Hollyweird. Isn't this the truth? Look at our government, how screwed up they are. Look at our daily lives. Are they not screwed up? I know mine is. I mean, you know, it's topsy-turvy. I mean, it is so twisted. But these are the signs of times that we're in, Jewel.
Yes, it is, Brother Thomas. And I want to bring the focus on this particular prayer call, specifically back to what we were saying with it being the last hurrah. And I know I caught some people's attention because I know immediately when you hear the last hurrah, you might be thinking, are they talking about the end of days? Are they talking about
the end of the podcast?
The end of, hopefully not the end of the podcast. But what I'm talking about is, you know, in the upcoming days that are approaching us very swiftly, we are going to witness the last hurrah. And what I mean by that is I know many of you guys who follow me, especially on social media, I have shared not just my life story, not just being targeted, not just dealing with family betrayals and corrupted officials that are affiliated with these family members and Masonic groups and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also shared with you guys some of the heinous crimes that have been committed within mm-hmm. this past year mm-hmm. on me and my family. And I tell you guys all the time that this was going to be the year that the veil would be lifted, the truth would be told. And I kept saying this over and over again, almost like a prophecy, if you will. And not only did I come out and give you guys at least my truth, and Brother Thomas has said his truth, and like you said, you've seen a lot of truth in the media about Holly Weird and politicians, and so much truth has been pouring out. I think we're all getting nauseous with it, and we're getting information constipation, if you will, right?
No.
I mentioned that to you.
You love that expression. Oh, my God. Yeah.
But you guys have experienced that, right? Now, we're in August, and you guys have
almost
been getting all of this truth. And harvest is coming in, right? Those of us that have been putting in the work, doing the Lord's will, exposing the enemy's plots and plans and all of that stuff. And now it's almost reaping season for those of us who have been on the right track of the Lord.
Yes.
But with reaping season, those that have been on the opposite track are going to, it's not going to be pretty. This is going to be their last hurrah. And what I mean by that, Brother Thomas, is
their last
that
being able to celebrate their sinful manners and everything. That's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's all ending.
Yeah. And we're going to see, we're going to witness all of those who participated in some of the most egregious acts up until
mm-hmm.
this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jill, you know what? I think we're witnessing that almost every day. There are more and more people that are coming forward. Did you know, the latest, Zuckerberg has come forward, and he is, I don't know under what kind of pressure, but he's come forward and he says, I did things I shouldn't have done on the social media. I was a part of the scheme. I was the one that said, you know, that we needed to listen to, you know, them about the shot, and we need to listen to them about our government. And it's like now he's saying, I admit it. Who would have ever thought you'd hear something like that from Mark Zuckerberg? Who?
Well, it's going to be a lot more coming, Brother
mm-hmm.
Thomas. And I have said this before in a previous podcast, which is, oftentimes, the information that comes in to break your heart will fix your vision.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I want to remind you guys of that statement because I know for me, personally, our Father can show us someone's intentions over and over again. But if our heart is blocking the message, you will deny your own discernment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't want to accept that even family isn't our family.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have the same Father, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And figuratively, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I can go deep into family secrets and all kinds of stuff, but I'm just saying we don't worship the same. And we don't live according to God's purpose in our lives and
mm-mm.
trust his will. You know, you can have people close to you that live every day focused on trying to out-manipulate, out-sneak, out-cheat, out-steal from you
mm-hmm.
and not trust the Lord's plan and trust that the Lord will have my portion when the time is right, right? People don't
mm-hmm.
don't believe that. They believe that
mm-hmm.
they have to take it or have mm-hmm. to out-manipulate for it by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's sad because I feel like some of us innately put family first, right? Without a second thought.
Well, and if you're a firstborn, you do. I do. I have. Because I'm supposed to be the one, you know, that sets the tone for the family. I used to be. Used to have that role. I don't have it no more. Don't listen to me.
Well, the thing is, you know, as the Lord is separating the wheat from the tares,
amen.
You know, we're seeing telltale signs that some of our so-called family are not related to us at all when it comes to the kingdom.
Right.
And many of us have now our surrogates here, right, on earth.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Needless to say.
I'm thankful for mine. I'm thankful for mine.
Likewise.
And that's you, Jewel, and that's Antoinette, and, you know, it's also Nadeel here at the hotel.
And I say that all the time, is that we have soul family. And when you reach a certain level of acceptance in your calling, you can release what does not serve your highest growth and good,
right,
and not feel some kind of way about it. I know in my youth, I recall just always trying to, I don't want to say speak acceptance, but I think everyone.
Approval. You wanted approval, Jewel.
You want to feel approved. You want to feel loved, and you want to, you just want that sense of family. But as you grow, you realize that's something that cannot be forced. If they are not children of your father, they don't serve your father, there will not be that resemblance of family.
Mm-mm.
And the sooner you accept it and embrace your true family, oh, my goodness, the peace that passes is understanding. I can't emphasize enough. You just, you're like in total awe, like, oh, my gosh, we have so much in common, the food, the this, the that.
Mm-hmm.
It never stops.
Mm-hmm.
It never stops.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that wasn't your family. As a matter of fact, not only was that not your family, but their sole mission was to destroy your purpose with God.
Yeah.
Right? And steal from you and you know, just harm you by any means.
Well, maybe
necessary.
Not so much not so much physically stealing, but stealing your soul. Stealing your life force. Your life force. And that's the truth. You didn't shine. You did not shine. I didn't. With my family. I thought, you know, well, I am supposed to be the firstborn brother. I have sisters. I never had a brother. I had certain responsibilities that I thought were mine to do. And I thought, you know, I would be the rally cry. I would be the one to rally the troops. And, you know, we would hold to Mom's good graces. Mom wanted us to stay together. She wanted us to do a conference call every Sunday. And we did for a while, but that's gone. They don't want to have anything to do with me anymore. So I was talking to my youngest sister. I'm sorry, Jill, I'm going off course a little bit. But I was talking to my youngest sister, Trisha, and I was saying, Trisha, where did we go wrong? What happened to us? Were we not supposed to do what Mom said? Stay together. Don't let this world pull us apart. And Jill, that's what it has. That's what just happened.
And I totally get it, Brother Thomas, because what we're not prepared for oftentimes is not taught in school, right?
Mm-mm.
You're not taught that if you are a child of God and you're totally devoted to helping others, serving others, and just living according to God's purpose, you're not really told that that's going to bring an onslaught of envy and jealousy.
You're not told that.
Probably some of the biggest betrayals that you could possibly imagine. And you can't be prepared for that, right?
No.
Because who can...
Well, it blindsides you. It does. You're blind.
It does.
You're going, wow, where did this come from? How? Like for me, I mean, when my sister told me, said, you need therapy. You're just off your rocker. You are a conspiracy theorist. You are allowing these people, you're spending too much time with them, and you need to get back to reality. Oh, what reality? Their fake reality, their false reality, the reality that the government has told them that they're supposed to believe in. Religion, let me tell you about religion, people. Religion was designed to confuse us. Hello! Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
And separate.
Oh, my God.
And separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do that. And so we did. I mean, I was raised Baptist, Southern Baptist. Okay. Well, we had our little thoughts about Methodists, and we had our little thoughts about Presbyterians, and we had our little thoughts about Catholics. And I'm not pointing any fingers, and I'm not trying to step on any thing. When you're raised a certain religion, you have certain mores and certain things that you think about the other religions. And then when you realize that there's only one God, okay, and there's one Yeshua, and that basically you need to be focused on that. So I'm going to say this, and it's, God's laying this on my heart right now, this scripture. So I do believe Yeshua said to his fisherman that he was choosing, he said, I want you, if you hearken unto me, then you need to forget yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Now, what is that saying? Forget yourself. In other words, you come out of yourself. That's it, people. So, in other words,
exactly.
the self that you thought you were is not the self that he wants. He wants you to have total devotion, compassion for others, love, respect, all these things that this world is not having any of it no more. There's no respect.
There's no love. No.
There's no compassion. There's none of this. It's just dog eat dog. It's just vile. It's just evil. And I'm telling you, people, those of you who are straddling the fence, better get off that fence, folks. I'm telling you, because God is not going to put up with lukewarm. And this is what my sister Tricia is. She's trying to ride the fence. She's trying to appease everybody. You can't do that. You either going to say yay or nay. And those that can't say that are going to have a problem. And that's what I'm saying about, and Julia was saying too, about the last hurrah. They'll be left behind.
It is. I think when you get to this point in your walk with the Most High and Yeshua, you realize that you cannot worry about what people think it is, but you must tell the truth in what it really is. And I struggled with that. I'm going to be honest with you because, you know, I used to be so deep in the matrix. It was so important for me to put on this persona that things were well.
Because everybody expected, it was expected, Jewel. That's what you thought your calling was. You know, in other words, I heard somebody say, I can't remember what it was, but some devotional thing, and I think it was Antoinette that actually didn't turn me to it. It was another podcast. And this person was saying, basically, we need to stop listening to people who are telling us what we need to do.
No.
And that's the truth of it. Because God puts into you, into your temple, he tells you what's right and what's wrong. Don't listen to what other people tell you to do. Because other people, if you listen to them, they're going to steer you wrong. 9 times out of 10, they're going to steer you wrong. You're going to go down the wrong path. But you know, you've got this inner... So, in other words, okay. Have you ever had this feeling, Jill? And I'll give you an analogy here. So, here you go. You're walking down this dark alley, and you feel uncomfortable, right? So that feeling, you don't shy away from it. You shouldn't, because that is your, like, antenna going off, like, hello? You know, you're going down this route, and you shouldn't go down that route. You need to turn around. So this is what I'm saying. God wants us to turn around. We're going down the evil path, people. We're going down the dark, narrow pathway. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And everything, and you've got these demons and these evil people on either side lining the road. Okay? And either one of them, any one of them could reach out and grab you. Okay? And pull you into their fold. You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. So turn from your wicked ways. Turn from this darkness that we're seeing. There is so much darkness in this world. You know, I just wish, I wish my family, I wish my children weren't going down that path. But they are. And my sister's the same thing. They just don't. They turned they're tone deaf. They turned a deaf ear to me.
Yes. That's how it is. And I'm going to give you guys just a quick kind of peek into my life and some of the decisions I had to make, as Brother Thomas has mentioned. When God gives you that intuition, when God gives you that discernment, sometimes it comes at the most uncomfortable time.
When you're
looking back and you're like, oh my goodness. And I want you guys to kind of close your eyes and follow me on this journey, if you will, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a peek into my life and how the Lord placed me in this calling and woke me up so timely that it saved my life.
Most definitely. I remember that day when you woke up. I remember it.
You know, guys, I was just like many of you that was going with the flow. And, you know, straight out of college, I was trying to make a way for myself through corporate America. And you know, I was moving up fairly quickly. You know, I graduated not too long after that. I was a assistant vice president for a international bank. And I was, you know,
she was into everything, people. Just she was a scholar. I mean, she was into this social club and she was into that club, and she still held her head up high, trust me. But, you know, I mean, she just simply went with, you know, what the expectation was. I don't know if it's friends and family that insisted that she try to go that route, or if she thought that was the way she needed to go to get ahead in society. But I think what she's going to allude to is that she realized society was not for her.
Yes. Clearly, you know, it was a combination thereof. Of course, you want to impress, you know, your loved ones and let them see that you have been a good investment from, you know, private school and college. And you are, making this path for yourself and following this matrix into success and all of that stuff. And then one day I realized that as I was going
through. The expectation was too great. The expectation was too great.
As I was going through, well, there was a combination of things at play, right? Not only was it too great, and I have met many challenges by the grace of God. But with meeting those challenges came with a lot of jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
And sometimes our heads are so deep in the clouds that we as I was saying before, our judgments were clouded. And those that you think are supporting you were actually quite envious and jealous and planning.
They're trying to hold you, Jewel.
They're
trying to hold you back. Exactly. They saw that you were rising above them.
Yes, and I know personally, I kind of would make excuses for the behavior or try to overlook it and say, no, that can't be it. That can't be it, because I've always celebrated their victories and through them events and, you know, poured into their cup. So that can't possibly be what I'm seeing. It must be something else. And and I still forged forward with all of the signs that God was showing me. Child, stop. and really mm-hmm. analyze what's happening around you.
Right.
And as
open your eyes. It's right there in front of you.
As I continue to forge ahead and not pay attention or use my discernment on the red flags that were presented to me, something happened that mm-hmm. literally forced me
mm-hmm.
to have to stop in mm-hmm. midair, right? As I'm rising, it forced me to stop. And mm-hmm. what that experience was, imagine if you will, right? One of your ancestors passes away
mm-hmm.
and they decide to leave you some type of fortune. Now, you didn't ask for this fortune. You don't even know of this fortune, but they leave it.
You didn't even know you earned it, you know?
You did it, and you're still working hard for everything you desire, not mm-hmm. thinking at all about it because you don't know it. Mm-mm. But guess what? Now, you got those same envious people
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
all aware of that fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're like an octopus. They have tentacles, and they reach out to anybody and everybody.
There you go. And the tentacles of the envy and jealousy reaches out to
mm-hmm.
people in the entire community and say, can you mm-hmm. help us not let this person get what is theirs ultimately?
Mm-hmm.
And I think mm-hmm. at that point is when you really find out people's true character, right? Because for it to start out as jealousy and kind of grow into this mold of greed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It just took a whole new life of itself because I think and it reminds me of I don't follow a whole lot of rap music, but there was this one line that Jay-Z said. And he said, once someone is tagged lame, the game is follow the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to share that with you because once you are targeted, the mm-hmm. target is on your back.
Mm-hmm.
There is a hit placed on your name. If you can take this person out, we can all split this mm-hmm. Amongst us all. Well, guess mm-hmm. what? That's when the monsters crawl out of the woodwork. I'm talking about there's no holding anyone back because they're like,
right.
Well, we all want a piece of something. And, you know,
right.
They'll raise their hands and say, well, I'll take her identity. I'll put the person on black market. I'll try to kill him this way. I'll try to kill him that way.
Yeah.
It becomes a mad frenzy, okay, of people just from all over getting the word of what can you get out of this? Because
Go ahead and interject. Well, what I was going to say is this, you know, yes, that is what your family did, but what the devil wanted to do, he wanted you to turn. And he thought if there was enough pressure put on you that you would say, God, why aren't you helping me with this? You know?
Yeah.
And then he'll come and talk to you in your little ear and say, hey, Jewel, where's your God? Where is he? Why is he not, you know, listening to you? I mean, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear your prayers. I hear your frustrations. Don't God listen? So what's going on?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, and that was part of the assignment of the
mm-hmm.
enemy was to get as many people on board to create the burdens that would be so heavy that I would be compelled to give up.
Yes.
I would be compelled to lose my mind. I would be compelled to react in a demonic way and lash out at those targeting me. And saying, I will not take your bullying and push back either physically or verbally, but I did not do any of the above by the grace of God Almighty. I thank you, Lord.
So in other words, you went through Right. You went through the season of Job. You did.
Yes.
And you got tried and true and tested all the way through.
I'm going to be transparent with you, Thomas. Not only did I go through it, and I'm still I'm declining out of it, but I recall when I was in the peak of it.
Yeah.
When everybody around me was tempted to go against me, and this includes every close person you could possibly think of down to my spouse.
Yeah.
They set the trap so tight, Thomas, that there was no wiggle room. Do you hear me, bro?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
I've been there, done that, and paid the bill. Literally.
There was no wiggle room. Everyone that was possibly put on this earth to protect me as family has failed. And failed miserably for greed.
You have no one to turn to except God.
They were all in on it down to the very end, Brother Thomas.
Yeah.
They didn't break.
I agree.
They didn't fold. They were committed to this project of death by her own sword.
Yeah.
Imagine
fall
that,
on it.
Thomas.
They wanted you to fall on your own
imagine
sword.
Imagine
exactly.
that. Mm-hmm. People you turn to, when you see one person betray you, you run to the next and you're like, why is this person betraying me? And they're laughing and giggling because they are on board too.
Yeah.
Imagine. Close your eyes and imagine. You see
shades of gray.
Oh my goodness. Everywhere you run down to the law officials, everywhere. Mm-hmm. They were paid off within the community. Here's a little bit of her fortune. Here's a little bit. Play your part. Play your position. We have her cornered.
I think some people may be thinking, gee, it's all about money. No, not really. What it is, it's the devil. So the devil wants to turn a strong Christian. He wants to basically say, just like he did with Job. He said, look here, Job, you know, I've taken away your health. Boop, boop, it's gone. Well, that's me. I've taken away your wealth. Boop, boop. Well, that's me again. And then the final straw, he thought, I've got him now. He's definitely going to turn. He's definitely going to turn my way. It's when when Job lost his family.
Yes.
And I've lost mine.
And I've lost mine.
I will not, and I say this strongly, ever turn my back on God. Ever. Ever.
No.
If I ever start to do that, I'm done. I'm done. Because God is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me.
Amen.
And people better wake up and see that and smell the coffee. Because I'm telling you, it's perking. It's perking right now, and it's going to come to a boil, and that's the wrath of God. He's boiling, and he's gone the nth degree with us. And those that are not on board, when the time comes, when the wheat and the chaff are separated, lo and be unto them. I mean the tares, He's going to rip them apart, Jill. And
you
I
know,
hate it
Brother
because
Thomas,
there's people that you would like to bring along with you, you know?
You can't.
Like if anybody, I know, if anybody that I would like to bring along with me, and I'm hoping that would be Trisha. She's a fence rider, but she has heard what I've said. And there's a lot of things that I've got her to start thinking about. And she and her husband are actually starting to look at things a different way, which I think that's progress.
That's good, but we have to realize that
it could be too late.
Everyone makes the decision for themselves.
Amen. That's it. That's one thing you need to know. It's not a group decision. It's an individual decision.
It's not a group
decision. And you know, I used to think that there's safety in numbers. No, not so true.
No.
And there's not, because the safety in numbers, you'll have people that'll try to sway you. And they will.
Yeah.
But if you are in the room by yourself and you have no other, I mean, who else is going to hear you? I mean, and who else is going to react to what you're saying? God. So if you could get into that quiet place in your life, a quiet place in your home, and just reach out to God and say, Lord, mm-hmm. show me discernment. Show me the errors of my ways. Show me where I need to turn around. I don't want to go this world is going to. I want to do things the right way. I want to yes. do what you want me to do. When you do that, and this is what I've learned, when you are willing at your, and I do believe you have to be at the lowest of the low. And I was. I was at the lowest of the low. And when I finally said, God, I just have to let go and let God, because I said, you know what? I don't have the answer. And we don't have the answer. God has the answers. And we people need to wake up and say, you know what, Lord? Take the wheel. You know, I don't want to drive no more. I don't want it. So I get up with my morning prayer, believe prayer, and I say, Lord, I want you to have control of my day. And people, I do this every single day. And I say to God, I say, Lord, I'm just going to let go and let God. I'm going to let you have it. You go, you run with it. And then I'm going to say this, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And I want to be happy in Jesus. I don't want to deal with this mad world that we're in. I don't. And so I say, hey, God, you got my day. And guess what, people? When I say that, and I say it out loud, it has to be proclaimed out loud. When I say these things to God, he gives me a victory every single day. People, we need to strive for the victories in our lives. Don't be focused on the deception. Don't be focused on people telling you what you ought to do and the disappointments they have in you. I could say a bad word, but I'm not going to. Screw them. They mean nothing.
I'll just say this, they're not living to glorify God anyway, so it doesn't matter what they think or how they feel.
Right, and I'll say this. I remember you asked when I had my turning point. I'll tell you when it was. When I went forward, I had been living a lie to my family, about my wife, and our situation at home. And finally, I thought I was only reaching out to one, my sister Tricia. And she said, sis, what's going on with you? You seem different. And I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. And I was texting. I wasn't talking. So I thought I was texting on just a one-liner. No, I wasn't. And then I realized after about midway through, after I'd already said most of everything, and she says, you do realize that you're saying this on the group text. I'm going, no, I didn't. And the first thought that came to me is, oh, my God, the image that I have painted is tarnished now. Mm-hmm. They are going to see me in a different light. I've always tried to be upstanding and tried to be the right kind of person. I can't help my wife didn't love me. She said she didn't love me since 2006, but I stayed in the relationship. I hid it from everyone. My people at work didn't know it. I didn't let anybody know it. Because it's an embarrassment. It's like...
It's embarrassing. It's the truth of life. It's the truth that I couldn't help someone chose money over true love, right?
Yeah.
This is the reality of life, right?
And life was going good, Jewel. I mean, God, I know. We were walking on the path in the nature, you know, and we were holding hands. Myself, I feel so fortunate that my wife wants to hold my hand, and then she dropped the hand. And then she said to me, she says, I've got something to tell you. I said, what is it? She says, I don't love you anymore. Oh, my God. My world was shattered right there in the moment that I heard that. It hit me like a ton of bricks.
And you can't prepare for that. Those of us that are true and authentic to ourselves,
yeah.
authentic to our loved ones. We cannot prepare for that
no.
betrayal.
No.
And
I wondered, I questioned what I did wrong, Jewel. I did. I came home. I left her and must have had to walk like a mile and a half. And I remember thinking the whole time, when I get home, I'm not going to tell the girls. I will never say anything to them. And I didn't. I did not. And I thought, God, what did I do wrong? Why does my wife not love me anymore? I thought we had the perfect marriage. I thought,
you know,
I wanted to have a relationship my mother and father never had.
I know what you mean, Brother Thomas. I know what you mean. And you know what, Brother Thomas? I personally feel like I didn't just get that sword stuck into me in the back of my, in my back by my.
Oh, that's what she did to
it.
Me. That's
from
what she did to me. She stabbed me in the back.
People,
yeah, she stabbed me in
I
the back
imagine.
And turned it. And turned it. She twisted it. She did everything
but
she could.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Brother Thomas. When I personally, and I don't know if you can relate to this, right? Because sometimes I go back in time and I think, what could I have done differently with these individuals?
Hmm.
That put more love into money than actual people.
Mm-hmm.
And I conclude that there isn't anything that I could have done, Thomas.
Right.
Because
I
celebrated
right.
everything. I threw elaborate birthday
yeah.
parties for individuals.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
I,
you took them on trips.
I
don't mean, my God. This,
I took them
people,
on,
this,
on
this
vacation.
Woman.
You know, Thomas, I took them on vacations
I know.
With me. I paid for
you were very
vacation.
Extravagant.
But it
you were
never,
very extravagant. But you wanted to share. You wanted to share your joy.
I wanted to share the joy
yeah.
of the experience because
yeah.
I appreciated the people more than the
yeah.
money.
Amen.
And in their minds, in their sinister and sick and jealous minds, they were focused on why is it that she is the one
there
giving
us. There must be an ulterior motive. And that's the truth. They wanted to know if you had an ulterior
why
motive.
Why is she giving us these parties? We should
is
have
she rubbing
it
rubbing my faces in it. You know what, Israel? They thought you were attempting to rub their faces in it that they had not accomplished. What you had accomplished. That's what they did. They twisted it.
They twisted because I truly enjoyed the expression on their
yeah.
faces when they were surprised by these
oh,
gifts.
I know.
My
I know.
Generosity. And
mm-hmm.
I did not see the monsters brewing underneath
no. No.
of grief.
You know, Jill, with me, I'll tell you
all
this.
And you should have none.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is how I felt when I went through life. It was better for me to give than to receive.
Uh-huh.
And this is where I always dealt with things. I fully
I
enjoyed.
I lived that way too, Thomas.
Yeah, I
to
fully
my,
enjoyed
my, unfortunately,
sharing and giving. I didn't care whether I got anything or not. It didn't matter. I enjoyed
yes.
their expression on their faces when they said, you
did
this I for
did
me.
Too.
I said, yeah.
I did
I
too.
Did.
It meant so much to me to see them appreciate it and love.
Yeah. And that's what I didn't
and,
get from my wife. They, you know, I remember I told you about the leather coat, the leather jacket. I mean, I told everybody. I told
yeah.
everybody at the store about it. And I'm telling you people, it was not cheap. It was a leather. It was a really nice leather jacket. And I thought, it's beautiful color. Mm. So I came home with it. I everybody at work said, oh my God, she's going to love it. And it built me up, you know, listening to the outside world, and I shouldn't have. I should have gone with my own inner feeling. But I wrapped it up and put it in a special wrapping, a special bow on it, and I was so excited putting it underneath the tree. And come Christmas morning, you know, after the girls had opened up their things, we shared our presents. And so I was so excited to open it up and watch her expression on her face. And I thought, oh, it's, you know, at first I thought it was going to be really good. She seemed like she was very excited and wondering what it was because she could feel the weight of it. And then she opened it up and opened up the box. And she gives me this look. And it's like anger. And she throws the box in the floor. And she says, who do you think I am? Some kind of streetwalker?
Oh.
I'm Sam. I didn't think so. So I said, okay, you don't like the color. I'll return it. You had better never bring anything like that into this house again. Okay. So I went back to the store, and I told the people, I said, well, they said, how'd she like it? Or did she love it? I said, no. I think I got the wrong color. Okay. So I went with black, because she likes black. I don't know which. I don't know. Anyway, she likes black. And so I'm going, okay, I'll get her the black one. So I wrapped it up again, and I brought it to her. I said, here you go. She opens it up, and she says, what did I tell you the first time? She threw it at me. I am not a streetwalker. And you know what I did right after that, people?
Oh,
I didn't get gifts. I didn't give her any kind of Christmas card, birthday card, anniversary card, nothing. I told her that if she wants something, just to go buy it and put my name on it. But I was not going to go through that humiliation ever again. And I didn't.
But, you know, Brother Thomas, there was a lesson in these experiences of gratitude. And
please somebody that can't be pleased.
And the people we give to not reciprocating and not being grateful for the gift
right.
that we give them.
Right.
And the lesson, and I thank God for this because, you know, I almost didn't learn the lesson timely. if those of you who follow me, because a lot of times people take your kindness for weakness. And sometimes our Father has to sit us down and really get it through to us that some people don't deserve kindness because
she was basically cruel with it, Jewel. I mean, cruel.
They're greedy.
You know, let me say this.
Cool,
but Jewel. 5 years about
you could think of
right and about 4 or 5 years later. Guess what she came home with?
What?
A short leather jacket, black. Now, was that not a slap in the face to me? Because my jacket was a whole lot fancier than that one.
Well, here's, and that's where I was going with it, Brother Thomas, is that the lesson that you needed to learn, that I needed to learn, and I have learned, is that we needed to, one, see, have discernment and see the truth for what it is, right?
Yeah.
No excuses given. Two, take that love and pour it into ourselves.
Yeah.
As much as we like to see others feel loved and appreciated, to love ourselves unconditionally so that we truly understand when we are not being loved properly.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And
amen.
I did that. I did that. I put myself totally into the store at Joseph A. Bank. I did.
And it's not selfish. Because I used to think that would be selfish to love myself to the point where, you know, I would just
You can't,
say,
in other words, Jill, I think the thing of it is, here is, if you can't love yourself, who can love you?
Exactly. Exactly. And that, I think for me,
and I didn't love myself. You know, my father had, I had a narcissistic father, and y'all heard of him, and you know, I came into this world and he hated me. And I never could equal up to his expectations. And, he was cruel with it. All the way to death, he was cruel with it. But, you know, there comes a time in life that you just have to give up and say, what the hell am I doing? Why am I trying to beat my head against a wall when this person don't give a shit about me?
There you go. That is the reality. and there's no way around it.
No.
You know, and when you accept that for what it is, there was such a peace that comes over you, Brother Thomas. You really don't care how they feel about it because you've accepted the truth of who they are.
Well, I'll just say this. You know, with Judgment Day Bank and working in retail, people, a lot of you may know this. You spend more time in the store than you do at home. And this is the truth. Because there was many days that I work 14-hour days because I'm the store manager. And so the expectation is, hey, the buck stops there. And if someone calls out, well, can you get somebody else to come in at the last minute notice or can you not? If you can't, then you work it. So I did. So, you know, that became my life was the store. And I focused on making sure that my people felt appreciated for the work that they did every day. And I know people that y'all are going to work every day. And aren't there many of times that you feel like you're not appreciated? That you feel like, why do I keep on doing this if I just keep getting slapped down? I get overlooked for promotions and all this kind of stuff. Don't you just want to just give up, you know? What drive and determination do you have when they slap you in the face? But I didn't want people to. So I decided to turn the other cheek.
I was going to say I've been there and I can relate.
I made them feel welcomed. They were my family, Jewel. And they knew it. And they knew I would do anything. I'd lay down my life for these people. I would. If they had something happen in their family, I was right there to comfort them. But my own family's not. That's the harsh reality, people. That those that you think you can count on, you can't count on them. So remember this. No more crying. Never put your faith and trust in any man.
Man.
Period.
There you go.
Because when you do, you're going to get let down. You're going to get screwed over. You're going to get, fuck you. And I'm sorry, but it's the truth. They're going to slap you in the face. When you put your trust and your love in the true God and your focus is on Him, you'll get that reward. You'll get that reward here on earth. You'll most definitely get that reward in heaven. And that's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
I want that reward in heaven.
You will get it, Brother Thomas. I want to share the reason why this podcast is so deeply important to me is because I know that there are people that are still asleep. And, would not believe the measures that some close ones would go to steal and harm them.
Yeah.
And I know when I first was awakened to it, it felt like something was rotting in my gut because the thought, I could not imagine because I would never do that to anyone.
No,
I don't understand it. I can't relate. I can't understand why this piece of paper that I would have voluntarily shared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caused you
to it's just like when my family, it's when my family told me over texting or even on the phone, they said, you need help. You need counseling. You're twisted. My own family.
Brother Thomas, I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to address that, right? Because I'm sure there's many cold cases that haven't been solved because many people were gaslit into believing that they had mental illness that didn't even have it, that people were intentionally. And I know this is going to blow your mind, but I'm here to speak the truth and shame the devil. Do you hear me?
Shame that devil. Shame him.
People were bribed to create illusions, all right, to make people appear mentally ill. And what I mean by that is...
And to make you appear to be delusional, Jewel.
Yes.
Delusional.
Yes. That is tricks of the enemy. And a
that's
lot
Loki.
Of people, unfortunately,
oh, that's the trickster, all right. That's the Loki.
They didn't wake up on time to see how an entire community could be bribed to do something like that. Because, of course, people who are asleep would immediately just say, oh, well, all of these people are saying something's wrong with this person. But someone
must
who's awakened,
someone
who is keen, someone who is experienced, someone who is talented, someone who is knowledgeable, someone who is wise in the spirit and can see through lies.
Well, let me say something to you over that.
Through a thousand liars.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Well, let me say what my sister.
Through a thousand liars and say you guys are sent by Satan and are liars.
Well, they accused me of something, Jill. They accused me, my sister Farrah, who is 1 year younger than me, who we came up growing like twins. And you know the stories I told you about us. And here she said to me, I'm getting sick and tired of you calling us blind sheep. People, I never said that. Ever. I may have thought it, but I ain't never said it. And
but
she said, I point blank had said to her that they're blind sheep.
What did I tell you about that? What did I tell you about that? And
that The devil planted it in their heads.
It's beyond the devil. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that the devil is using tools. And those tools are technology, right?
Yeah,
so
the phone.
They didn't just go as far as plot and plan and bribe others. They're out here hacking your phone to hear your plans, your plots, so they can plan against you while stalking and hacking you at the same time.
Well, and what I've heard, what I've heard too is actually, and people need to be aware of this, if you sleep with your phone near you, wrap it in aluminum foil. Now, why did I say that? Because that aluminum foil insulates the subliminal vibrations, the frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently what they're doing at nighttime, they want to turn the country a certain way. They're sending out these signals, these frequencies, through our phones. And subliminally now, we don't know it because we're sleeping, but subliminally we're getting a message. You know, we're a computer. Our brain is a computer. So they're sending a frequency, a signal, and we're picking up on that signal. So that for when you get up the next morning, you're totally twisted. Now, I'll use an analogy this. You remember the commercial, the Drano commercial? If y'all don't know this, you know, Jill and I went to, you know, study psychology. And I think the first thing that we saw was how the mass media controls our thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize it. So, Jill, do you remember the Drano commercial?
I do recall it, yes.
Okay, so Drano, you know, everybody loved Drano. I mean, they thought it was wonderful. Why? Because you'd see the commercial, and you'd watch the water swirling down the drain. You're going, oh, that's so good. We don't have to worry about stuff that, you know, sink anymore, or toilet. How many people want to dig into a toilet with a plunger, you know? You'd rather have something that you can put into it, you know, do that. So use Drano. But people, way they produced it is they had this clear drain, okay, so that you could see the water swirling as it was going down. You're going, oh, that's so cool. Guess what was in the swirl? Sex, 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 sex. S-E-X. Uh-huh. So subliminally, they were painting the picture in us so that when we went to the grocery store, we automatically saw the Drano. And subliminally, we were thinking, and it's twisted, but we were thinking, oh, that reminds me of sex. Huh? I mean, seriously, but that's what they did. Advertising learned how to warp our thoughts. And so if they did it in advertising, don't you think they now can do it with your cell phone? Of course they can. And that's the frequency. And that's the signal that we're getting. So I think that where they thought, or she thought, that I had said blind sheep, somebody had planted that in that you need to be on guard. There are going to be these people, these conspiracy theorists who are saying these things about you, that you're blind sheep, and you need to fight against it. You need to say, I'm tired of you calling me a blind sheep. I'm tired of you forcing your religion down my throat, your beliefs down my throat. I'm going to cut you off. And she cut me off from her phone. Yeah. My sister. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, there are people out there that are wanting and hearing you.
Yeah.
And there are those that want to sway those people and can and do. Because they are of this world. They are materialistic. My family is materialistic. All they see is the cafe lattes. And the scheduled gym appointments. Oh my God, these people don't know how to live unless they go to the gym. My daughter's the same one.
Well,
makes me sick.
Yeah, that's better
sick.
Than mine. Mine uses their money for trips to practitioners, but that's
that's
another day, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is, and these people, there's no God. There's no God in their lives.
Yeah,
there's
at the
not.
End of the day, it comes down to that God is.
Well, and I'll say this
too:
some people may pretend that they are in God's corner. They may pretend that they are, you know, doing their fair share, their good Samaritan work or whatever.
Oh, they put on the show, don't
they? Yeah, but God
knows
the difference.
Some of them, they put on, we talked about these Academy Awards that need to expand.
Oh, yeah.
Beyond Hollywood.
Yeah.
And really.
Yeah.
Someone, you know, in the local neighborhoods and say, you know, we want to give a great, you know, homage to such and such. So put on a really good show. They act like they're an upright citizen. They take their kids to school.
But Jill, there's not a genuine.
They
but this
plan
is the
murders.
There's not a genuine bone in their bodies. Nothing.
No. It's all artificial.
And me, I'm just the opposite. I am so genuine. I am so compassionate. I am so loving to a fault.
And you know what,
people.
Thomas?
I overlook.
Like it or not, right? What you see is what you get. So,
amen.
If you say, "Hey, I'm not really for an authentic Christian woman. She rubs me the wrong way." That's cool, right? I'm not for everyone. But those that want to deal with real, true authenticity, my good, my bad, my ugly.
Genuine goodness, loving, kindness.
Yes.
Who don't want that in their lives?
Liars.
Why do you want to go with one who wants to keep up with the Joneses? And that's what my wife was all about. She always wanted to keep up with the Joneses.
And I was going to say that. Those that want to keep up with the Joneses definitely don't want that kind of truth.
No,
because their mind is always set to, how can I get money to get to another island? How can I get money to get a better car?
You know what I see it
neighbor?
As, Jewel? What I see it as, I was ensnared. I was. I fell into her trap. I can see it now. Because she thought I was going places because I was in a role of management.
But that's what they do, Brother Tom.
Uh-huh.
They leech on to God's children because they see the innate blessings that come with being authentic.
Yeah.
And they try to steal not just the physical things of this world, but your actual promised destiny for doing the good deeds in authenticity on this earth.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Well, let me tell you something, too. I'm going to tell you something about what my wife did, okay? So what she would do is she'd go and she would read her Bible. And I go, okay, that's cool. And it was a Korean Bible because she's Korean, South Korean. And I couldn't tell what she was reading. And didn't have a clue. But then I remember one day that I was reading my scripture in the chair. Takes the Bible, And she throws it across the room. She says, I don't know what the hell you're living in, what you're looking at that for. You're not any, you're no way good enough to read that Bible. I don't know what you think you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care about you.
They're known to attack God's children that way.
Woo! Let me tell you. I mean, it ripped that Bible to shreds, Jewel. I mean, I had to pull it together. Because she ripped the pages out.
Because it's such anger.
You tell me a person who sits there and reads her Bible can let that kind of seething anger build up in her. Hmm?
Thomas, what was in her, you just didn't have the discernment to see. And that was supposed to open your eyes.
She was the mother of my children. What was I supposed to do, Jewel?
Thomas, I get it. Believe me, I get it.
So even after she did that, I just picked it up and I said, I just erased it like, oh, she's just tired. You know, that was whenever she lost her temper. The kids even realized
that's
that.
That's what we do.
Daddy, she's just
we
tired.
Cover up.
Yeah.
We cover up and try to mask the fact that they are
not
children of God and despise.
Well, it's like, we came home.
Children of God. They want to live in lies.
Right. Well, we came home to see my sister Farrah, right? And this was the time when I hadn't seen my father in 17 years. And so Jan told me, she said, you know, you're here and they're there and it's only 85 miles away. We're going to go see him. I said, no, we're not. And she said, yes, we are. And I said, no, we're not. I'm not going to see him. I know how I feel about it. She said, it's not for you. It's for your children. Okay. So what did I do? I swallowed my pride, and I went there, and I put my feet under his table. That was the worst day I've ever had in my adult life. Now, in my growing up life, I had plenty of others. But I did it I sacrificed it for my children. Just like I didn't tell my family. I mean, we went home, and you know, we pretended like we were the loving couple. I mean, she would do everything for me. People, you would not believe. I mean, I was like, good God, who is this woman? I mean, she'd go serve my plate, bring it to me, put her hand on my shoulder, say, honey, is there anything else you want? I'm going, who is this woman? This is not who I know she is at home. Why are we doing this? Why? And I went along with it because it was convenient, Jewel. Convenient to live the lie instead of face the reality and tell it to everybody. And they thought, and when I did the texting to them, the first thing that came out of their mouths, Jewel, I swear to God, they said, we never knew this. You never showed it. I said, and I never would. And I would never have showed y'all this if it hadn't come down to it, because I wouldn't even tell my children of what happened until Caroline pulled it out of me that night. She said, Daddy, what's going on? And I told her. I told her everything. And she turned and used it against me the very next day. And then I was upset. So my sister Trisha realized something was wrong. And so I texted her. I said, well, I just need to be honest with you. I need to tell you what's going on. And she said, oh, my God, I didn't know. I said, no one knew. At work, they didn't know. When I went and told them at work, they said, I never knew this. You never showed us anything like this. I'm so sorry. My family, my work family, said, I'm so sorry. You never let us even know you were doing and dealing with this on a day-to-day basis. I said, no, and I would never. That's your private life. You don't air your dirty laundry.
And that's the thing, Thomas. This is why this podcast is so important for the day to day, everyday man, because we relate. We've gone to work the next day after we dealt with narcissists, after we dealt with Satan's children plotting, planning on our lives, and you guys still have no clue the kind of warfare that we fought the night before, but we still showed up with a smile. And did our job the same way you come in to do your job. But I challenge you guys with this. Do not make other people's lives more difficult without understanding their walk. Because some of us are fighting demons in high places.
Yeah.
That you couldn't survive on your best day. Do you hear me?
No.
And it's nothing to brag about. I want you to understand
this. I don't want to brag about it.
It's not something that we want to brag about and say we're happy to do. Because we've had moments with Father where we said, why did you choose us?
Right.
Because there's so many people going to work and they don't have to deal with this. So why us?
Well, I remember, Jill, and I told you this. I said, God, why don't you just
let...
Sure. I'm sorry. Sorry.
The same way we ask why us is the same way our persecutors ask God, why did you choose them?
Right.
Let's talk about it.
Amen.
Okay? Let's talk about it. Because while we're carrying the burdens of many, as Brother Thomas said, Jesus said, carry your own cross.
Exactly.
So we carry the cross of not just ourselves, but for the others behind us, so that you don't have to deal with wrongful persecution, so that you don't have to deal with inheritance theft, so that you don't have to deal with identity theft, so that you don't have to deal with people planning to organ and traffic you, so that you don't have to deal with noise campaigns above you, and energy weapons below you. So that
you
have to deal.
Preach it.
Come on now.
Amen.
These are the burdens that we're carrying on our back.
Amen.
So that many don't have to suffer.
Amen.
We have to get this truth out.
Yeah. Before it's too late.
So before it's too late, because if they get too many innocent people with their weapons of technology, hacking your devices, your phones, your televisions, your darn near electronic air conditioning units that you think are so convenient for you. Yes, this can be used as torturing methods.
Yeah.
Because you put so much trust in technology.
Exactly. When it's gone, people. And when we lose the power grid, y'all are going to see. You're going to see what we've had, and you're going to realize it ain't there no more. Think about it. We have cell phones. What are you going to do when you don't have one? How are you going
to
communicate?
Some of us, Brother Thomas, had to endure the worst.
Yeah.
So that many can live through the best.
Yeah.
And that's just the bottom line. I'm not
going to
sugarcoat it. I'm not going to lukewarm it for you. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah. We're the chosen. We're supposed to bring it to light. That's
our
task.
Some people are jealous of chosen people of God. You don't understand what the chosen people of God have to carry.
Amen. I'll tell you one thing, Jill. I didn't ask to be chosen.
None of us did. Thomas, I know there was a time I looked back, brother, and I said, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Amen.
Why am I telling you all of this when I've only been kind and loving?
Why are
you lying on my name and you allowing it to happen?
Well, look, Jill, I don't know if I told you this, but, you know, when I came out of the hospital and I was there almost a month, people, because of the vaccine. And I came out and I was just being really honest with God. And I said, God, why don't you just let me die? You know, my wife can't stand me. My daughter wants me to be put into a nursing home. Why didn't you just let me die? I said, I would be happy. I would be in heaven and they would have the house. God said really quick, I didn't plan that for you. I said, okay. He says, you will find out.
But that's the thing, Thomas. Here's the thing that we don't want to accept and we don't want to accredit to our Father, right? When things go bad, we're quick to turn to him and be like, how do we end up on this avenue? But the truth is, the truth is we made some decisions on our own that landed us on that avenue. See, when God was trying to tell me, for example, because I have learned to be accountable. When Lord was trying to tell me, child, wait, you're not ready. You're not ready to walk into a union with someone who's not ready to meet me. You need wait on me show you who's ready for you at this level.
Right.
But no, me at that stage when I was rising,
you were headstrong.
To the level of, I was headstrong, I was pompous, I was saying, look at me, I'm a VP already. What can you tell me? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I may not have been that cocky, but the point is,
no, you felt, well, not cocky, Jewel. You were confident.
Confident. I was eager to prove to the world I have arrived. I'm out of college. I'm ready to
look at me, world. I'm ready to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the Lord said, excuse me, I know they gave you that piece of paper and you feel like you figured everything out in this matrix, but you don't know a damn thing, child. You need to take several
steps. Oh, my God, y'all. She said damn. Woo-hoo. Yes.
That's when you know it got real quick.
That's right.
You come out into this world, you think you know something.
And then God says, You don't know beans.
I want to teach you the real level.
Life
of
lessons.
Mastery.
Yes, life lessons.
Mastery. And when God sits you down and he's like, oh, you didn't know that they was doing this much witchcraft on you? Yeah, child, they were putting in that work on you, child. You didn't know. You were sitting there thinking that you got that little piece
You're
of paper from that university.
You poor little innocent thing. You poor naive. You poor little thing.
You thought
you
was ready for something. No, let me tell you. Even the one you made a bond with was out here practicing on you in your clothing items. Sweetheart, sit
when
down.
When I said that, well,
let
Jill, when I said that.
What's really happening out in this world?
Well, I said
and when
the
Daddy
marriage vows.
Taught me. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I said the marriage vows, I believed him. You know, let no man put asunder.
We all did.
Till death do us part. Not, you know how so many, you know how many so. Right. Well, let me tell this, Jewel. Some people, and my mom was the same way. She said, till death do you part. But there's so many people now that say, till life do us part.
Yes,
there's
because
not.
When life
know,
gets
they get
hard.
Tired of it. Well, it's not, do you know that marriage is basically in decline? And the reason why it is because it's too easy to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, some people don't sign up for the same thing you sign up for. Like, you sign up for better or for worse. They sign up
richer
for better
poor,
or better.
Richer or poorer.
Richer or richer. Like, I just signed up to get richer and richer. And if we ever go through a down spiral, then
I can disown you. I don't have to love you no more. I would never in my life have ever said to her, I don't love you anymore until the time came.
Thomas, we all don't think the same because even I thought if we going through a downward spiral, well, then we going to spiral it up together and try to figure this out. No, everybody doesn't think like that.
No, they don't.
That's not how their satanic marriages work.
No.
Their satanic marriages is, what can you do for me? And until you can't do it no more, I'm gone.
Amen. And beat you down. And that's what she did.
And
every
beat you
day.
Down on the way and tell you you didn't do it.
Amen. I mean, when you're a dog, when she kicks you in, she kicks you in like a dog.
Come on,
and
somebody.
Am
I keeping it too authentic on this podcast or what?
I don't think so. I think
some of you
real.
Can relate. I know some of you can't relate. Y'all come to work with that straight face, but y'all didn't really hear the straight facts.
But what goes
happening.
On behind the closed door is a totally different different world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're going to
take it
real too.
Further for the young people that are not prepared, right, coming up.
Oh, God.
And they're thinking that this person that they're about to meet is going to be the love of their life, and they're going to do this to the real authentic way, not knowing that these people are doing love spells under the moon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you can't figure out why you're stuck on this person because you just had their spaghetti.
I don't know how you meant that, but, you know, I'll take it whichever way. But
Yeah, they know what they hide in that spaghetti. Those that know,
I didn't know you were going to go there, Jewel. Oh, my God. This spaghetti, I've never heard it called that.
I'll give you some hidden nuggets.
You need to get with Stephanie on that one. Mm-hmm.
I'm a teacher, and I'm going to teach you what I learned.
You're
the
preacher
hard
and a teacher.
Way, because I didn't wait on daddy, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to make the same mistake I did and get too overzealous and think that you got a piece of paper from a university that only planned on indenturing you with it.
Amen.
Okay?
That's the truth.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
Ain't nothing what it's supposed
to be. I'm not going to tell it to you worried about how people think.
That's right.
I'm going to be authentic about it and tell you what I learned.
If you feel good about it, do it. If you don't, you don't.
And if you could avoid, the 20 years wasted.
Oh, my God.
I shouldn't say wasted because I
29,
learned
29 years, too.
Wasted. I learned something, right? So
I
if
did
you
too.
Can
I learned
take
to love
that
my children.
Wisdom and save yourself 20 years of distress, save yourself that dance with the devil, because I danced with him these last past 5 years. Lord have mercy. If I could save you the dance, I will save it to you.
Yeah. But I did learn to love my children, and they learned to love me. And I showed them love every single day.
You know, families, try your best. This is my advice.
That's all you can do. Do
any
your best.
Woman or man that has young children, try your best even in the midst of the storm. Even when the devil shows up at your door hoping to steal everything you have, even your self-esteem. Love those children.
Cherish the treasures because you only have them for a short period of time. You only have them for a short period of time. And when it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone. And that's all they have to look back on. They're not going to know that the devil came to dance with you. They're not going to remember that.
Nope.
What they're going to remember is you telling them you were too busy. So get off work, take them to the park, take them to the beach, take them wherever. Just take them.
Read a story to them, people. Throw the damn phone against the wall if you have to. Sit down with your children
you
and read a book.
To create the memories, the long-lasting memories, and step out of this matrix even for a second.
Amen.
I can't emphasize that enough because you know what? The enemy stole a lot of time from me.
Yeah.
He stole
a lot. Well, the schools are doing it now, Jewel. My God, the schools are doing it now. You know, we're sending these kids to school, and they're going to, 10 hours? 10 hours to school? You know, and what are they being indoctrinated with? What are they being indoctrinated with? All the fallacies of this world. That's what they're being indoctrinated with. And then if they can't come home and see you as the strong, you know, loving, compassionate, always willing to forget about your life, forget about your social hour. Forget about your damn texting on the phone. And look at your children.
See them for who they are.
They're your precious jewel.
But
they're
those
your precious
are my,
treasure.
My pride and joy. And I want
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And if you don't
I'm
do
gonna,
that, then you didn't deserve them to begin with. Amen, amen.
No. And I want them, honestly, no matter how this turns out, no matter how the Lord turns this page, whether the Lord feels that I'm deserving of this justice being exposed publicly. I want my children to look back and say, my mom did well.
She loved me.
She loved me. No matter what the devil brought, how many he riled up, how much lies were piled up against her, how much they tried to isolate her. She loved me.
Amen. Amen.
And if my child could really feel that in his heart, then my job was well done.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Jewel. My children, they learned really quick. They learned who they could come to.
Yeah.
They learned they came to me, Daddy would be there for them. They learned when they came to their mother, she was always tired. Or she was just, you know, having to go to work at the time when they were needed to be lulled to sleep. I remember singing lullaby to them because that's what dads do, you know. And we would have dinner together or something, you know, and she wouldn't be there because she went in like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we spent all night together. Homework, we did it all together. And I never put the texting of the phone or watching a TV show or doing something to be compromise my thinking because of something going on at work. No, my family came first. My daughters came first. And so they love me. If there's one thing that they'll never be able to say against me is that I never showed them love. That's a damn lie if they ever did. If they ever do that. Because it's wrong.
I think so.
I was there for them since 2006 when she told me that she didn't love me. I was there for them until May 1st of 2023, people. May 1st, 2023. And that's when I put my foot down. I said, enough is enough. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I don't have to. They're adults. I raised them right. And why they turned the way they have, I don't know. I'm not a materialistic man. I never was. You know, everybody else, I mean, for a time there, people, I work for Toys R Us. So how a toy in the store? All the other kids were having the Game Boys and all that crap, you know?
Uh-huh.
And their friends would say to him, hey, your dad works at Toys R Us. Can't he get you the best one? I say, no. And I told my children, hell, my kids didn't even get phones, Jewel, until they went to college. I ain't kidding. I mean, you know, I guess it's sheltering. I don't know. But I didn't think that they needed to have anything to do with that. And I do remember being very upset when I found out that Kimberly had Facebook. I said, why in the hell are you on Facebook? Because that's how the school communicates. I said, huh? They do all their communication through Facebook. I said, well, there goes the kingdom right there. There we go. So, you know.
Here's the thing, Brother Thomas. I want to prepare to close out because, you know, we typically
go. I know, honey. For overtime. That's just an assignment, whatever. Do you want me to read this thing?
Yes.
Do you want me to read this thing?
Before we get to that, I just want to close out and really zone in on the topic for today, which was the last hurrah. And I want to emphasize to you guys, although we shared a lot of where we came from and what we've been through.
Yeah, buddy.
And
I'm ready for the hurrah. I'm ready for the celebration.
That's where I want to close out by emphasizing that although we are mourning the past, we are celebrating the future, right?
Amen.
And you know, here's the thing: it as we approach on this celebration, you're going to see a lot of acting up because mm-hmm. there's a lot of lack of accountability.
Oh, yeah.
People don't want to be held accountable for their crime,
accountable
for their sin. And I want to prepare you guys for this. As the veil is being lifted, as the truth is being exposed, you're going to see them act out until the last very moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me, I'm going to tell you a quick story before I close out. It reminds me of when I was a child. And I share with you guys that I grew up with my grandparents when I was a young girl. And I
the best
recall,
thing that's ever happened to you.
Yes. May they rest in peace. But I recall when I was a child, Brother Thomas, and I didn't get my way.
You're going to tell that story. I love it.
I recall Brother Thomas throwing a tantrum. And I mean kicking and screaming. I mean, mm-hmm. getting even louder when they would walk past me because I wanted to unnerve them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That kind of tantrum. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at their faces because these are the OGs of parents. These are the old vets. And they mm-hmm. did not.
They're seasoned. They're very seasoned.
They were, to say the least, Brother Thomas, they didn't show any kind of shift in mm-hmm. in emotion, nothing. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. even exist. They mm-hmm. walked by with such a stride. I'm like, didn't you hit a pitch in my throat? Mm-hmm. Like, I hit
you
a soprano high note. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even flinch. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And after Brother Thomas, I put on a show. I knocked myself out to sleep. I was so exhausted from the
fall. And y'all, I told her what I did. I made the mistake of doing something else. I didn't raise my voice. I said, fine, I'll just hold my breath. Well, y'all know how long that goes, right? That doesn't last very long at all. And they said, and then you realize you're going, oh, well, I give up. I mean, I held my breath. And they could care less. They could care less. If I died, if I didn't take my last breath, and they were just sitting there waiting for me, okay, are you finally going to go? Really? Are you really? Just like my youngest, I swear to God, Caroline, you know what she did? She got all huffed. She packed up her little clothes, and she left out of the house. She did.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she did. Did I go running after her? No, I did not. I did not. I said, she'll come home. She'll come home. She only went around the house. And she was waiting for us to run out the house, you know, going, where'd she go? Where'd she go? Where'd she go? And we didn't do it. So she comes home and she begs me frustrated. She says, I don't understand. Didn't you care? Mm-hmm. Didn't you care? Yeah, I cared enough to know that you were pitching a little fit and you need to get a whooping for it.
Mm-hmm.
You won't do that again.
Brother Thomas, I think that's the same point that we're going to see with a lot of adults that haven't really...
Well, Jewel, that's the analogy God is saying to us. He's ready for us to stop the tantrums because he's ready to give us a whooping.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you the same principle applies if we have learned the wisdom from our seasoned parents and Amen. Grandparents is to Amen. Be still. In Amen. This time, allow them who plotted and planned for you to fall on your own sword.
Yeah.
For them, in turn, to fall on theirs.
Amen.
You know, it's funny how life teaches you lessons that you can only fully grasp when you reach a certain level of adulthood and mastery.
Yeah. And spirituality.
Notice I didn't say...
spirituality,
Thomas,
too.
Notice I didn't say age.
No!
I didn't say when you reach a certain age.
No, because they don't have nothing to do with it, people. No. You can have a childish person who's 70-something years old.
That's what I was going to say.
Serious.
You can be a full senior citizen still acting a damn fool out here. Excuse my... That's too damn. So you know this is a real heavy hitting podcast.
But you know what? We need to stop that. We need to stop this tantrum pitching that we're doing. And we need to realize that God's the only way. And we need to stop focusing on this materialistic world and everything that's with it and realize, open our damn eyes and see. Yes. You know, I swear, God is such a patient God. Oh,
yes.
That he's waited 2,000 years for this. You know, to happen. And he's saying, mm-hmm. are these people going to turn around? And they don't. I swear, you know, Jill, some people that we've dealt with, wouldn't you just like to see them struck by a lightning bolt? Ooh, I tell you, I would. I really would. I'm glad I'm not in charge.
Let me tell you, a lot of our enemies are glad you're not in charge, Brother Thomas, because you don't hold back on the justice
I'm telling you. Now, I'll tell you, people, I didn't used to be this way. I got my voice. Because I said, you know, when I wrote the story, I said, I'm going to be a voice of those who could not speak. Well, yeah, I did that. And I decided, and I guess that's what happened with my family. They said, where is he coming from? Who is this person? Why has he got these thoughts in his mind? What has happened to him? He's not the same person. No, I'm not. I am not a blind sheep. I am not a sheepdog. I am a lion. Hear me roar. And that's the way
and
I am.
And that's the thing, Brother Thomas. We're not expected to be the same after going through so many trials and being placed mm-hmm. under so many burdens and being betrayed and backstabbed.
Well, you can. I mean, I could have folded my tent, Jewel, and get that. I'm going to just go home. I'm going to just check out, you know, take a few pills and I'm out.
But that was the goal. That was ultimately the goal of the enemy, was for you to become so burdened, so stressed, that you give up on life and God, you know, which is the worst thing that you can do.
Well, yeah, because ultimately what you'd be doing would be saying, you know, God, I'm going to just, you know, do the fist cut to you because you screwed me over. And so I'm done with this world. I'm checked out.
Under any circumstances, mm-hmm. and I hope those of you who are going through burdens and feel no one understands
ain't nothing
and
that bad.
Tell your story because you think people might think you're crazy and you're too focused on what people think than to be authentic in your truth.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, okay? I'll tell you this. Don't forfeit your seat. Live in your authenticity, tell the truth, and shame the devil. Okay?
Shame that devil.
I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. Well, I don't care what the devil used and tried to make it look like. Okay?
Well, don't let me say this, Jewel. You know Joe? Well, look at Joe. What did he do? He never lost it. With God.
He did it.
Ever.
He did it.
And what did God do in the end? What did he do with Job?
Oh, he was
rewarded. Gave him back everything.
He was
seven times seven. Old.
And that's what's coming. We gotta stand firm and stand in our authority and know that the blessings are gonna come no matter how much wickedness that we have seen with our eyes and experience.
Well, and then the other thing you got to realize too, people, it may not come in your lifetime. Just realize that.
It may not. We may be doing this for our children's children's children. I don't care.
Exactly. But when you do,
I was called and ordained to do it.
Yeah, when you do get to heaven, what a day of glory that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Shout the victory. Yes. Yes, we will, Brother Thomas.
I mean, to see Jesus in his sweet face and to know when he says, when he reads your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and it says, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Well done. That will be my ultimate accomplishment, Jewel.
Amen. Amen. And I promise
that
you
that will make it worth everything. It will make it worth everything that I went through.
Amen. I agree. This is my last, I promise, analogy for this podcast. And this was probably one of the most powerful, truthful, heartfelt podcasts I've done in the last 2 years because
Amen.
I know that there's people following, listening, and hanging on by a thread because the enemy has used so many vices against them and people against them. And they don't have anyone to talk to, but I'm here to support you. And I'm going to give you one more analogy. When you speak the truth boldly and unapologetically, it's like cornering the enemy's king in a game of chess with a queen on one end and a bishop on the other.
Amen.
You see, there's nowhere to go. And desperation starts to set in. Those that are chess players, follow me, if you will. The enemy will have to keep offloading rooks until there's nothing left. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's
sacrificing pawns.
See.
Sacrificing
there you
the
go.
Pawns. Mm-hmm.
In real life, he will give up key players and use the same tactics until there is nothing left. But
Amen.
You, him,
Amen.
And the truth. That's where we
truth
are,
will
ladies
set you
and
free.
Gentlemen.
The truth
We're
shall set you free.
We're here at the very
last hurrah. The enemy uses after all his works are either exposed or gone is to try to get you to second guess yourself, to second guess your next move, or have an emotional imbalance. But the truth is, you don't need to, because he's already cornered, defeated, on defense, ready to fall on his own sword. It's the enemy's last hurrah.
Amen.
Sarah.
Sarah. Woohoo! Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God, exactly. And that's what we're looking for. And people, you just need to look forward to it. You need to just celebrate, in hug it, love it, knowing that you have made it this far. Embrace it. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. And I want to close out with some prior comments, Brother Thomas, from the last podcast. I have a comment from Brother Solomon King Dankuo, who stated the last podcast was a real nice one. And I want to thank you, Brother Solomon, for that feedback.
That was a powerful one,
I really appreciate
it.
I thought so as well. We just, like, right from the Matrix on up, we just kind of leveled up and doubled down with truth and authenticity. And so I'm glad you really appreciated that one. Wait till you hear this one. It's probably going to blow your socks off.
Tell me about it, Jill.
Then Brother Thomas got some feedback personally from the last podcast. Can you share the feedback?
I certainly will. So, people, I share the podcast. Whenever Jewel gets it, I say, come on, get it to me really fast, because I want to see it. And I immediately share it with my friends on TikTok and Telegram and on X, which is now have been Twitter, and I share it with friends and family. I don't leave any stone unturned, because I feel like it's very important for them to hear these words. And so, this one person I shared it with, and she was a new person. I just thought, oh, heck, I'll just, you know, send this across, see what she says. And so I sent the link to her. And I said, you know, I said, the link above is our latest podcast about Loki as the trickster god. And that's all I put on there with the words of wisdom. And so she comes back and says, thank you. I think Loki is very interesting. In fact, I believe I have had supernatural experiences with Loki. Crazy, but true. Now, here's a person right out of the, you know, the blue that says to me, thank you. And all I did was just share the podcast. Reaches out to me and she says, you know, Loki, yeah, I deal with him. I deal with this supernatural, you know, experience. So it's there. It's not like we're off the wall here. It's not like we're just, you know, ready for the loony bin. No, we're not. Other people experience this. And so this is refreshing to see this. And so I shared it with Jewel the minute I got it. And it's just something to say that, you know, people out there are listening. And that's a great thing. Because if we were just talking for ourselves, we're not getting nowhere. And that's not why I'm doing this. I'm not tooting my own horn. God, please tell me I'm not tooting my own horn. I don't want to be. I just want to give you reality, a dose of reality. I just want to give you how I was in it, how I came out of it, and how now I see it for what it was. And that's where you need to be. Things, then you have ascended. You're now in the fifth dimension. And that's where I am. I'm in the fifth dimension. And so people talk about, they feel like they've been a time change, a shift. There has been. And those people who are not with that shift, I think they're the ones that's going to be left behind. I truly do.
Amen. That is true indeed, Brother Thomas. I'm going to thank all of you guys for supporting this podcast.
Amen.
Really, really true, deep down in my heart. Those of you who have been following both Brother Thomas, myself, fundraising cup, and been dedicated with the feedback and everything. It really means a lot because we share this information not just for ourselves, because it is therapeutic to be open and honest.
That's true. It's a cleansing. It is a cleansing. It really is a cleansing.
It is.
Because, and I'll just say this, because you know, we try to encourage these people that they need to be cleansed. Come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your story. You know, the better thing you can do is not hold it up inside you. Bottle it up, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're going to explode. And who are you going to explode on? I mean, there's a breaking point. You know, every volcano has its eruption, okay? And do you want to be that type of person, or do you want to kind of like, you know, vent, let a little steam out, whatever?
It's true.
But here's the thing. When you come forward, it's better to just open yourself up, just to embrace what you're going through. Let other people listen to what you're going through. It shouldn't be just us telling you. I know there's bound to people out there that are thinking, he's right on. She sees this, and we need to hear that from y'all.
Brother Thomas, I find that a lot of empaths and people that are very caring and loving seldom share their stories, and unfortunately, that's how you get abused, because
you put your feelings out there on your sleeve.
That can create false narratives on you.
Yeah.
Well, they bank on the fact that you don't go out here gossiping and you don't share the truth a lot, that you're very reserved and well-mannered, and they bank on that. And that's why they do what they do. And I hope that this encourages you to heal out loud and to stop them in their tracks of thinking they could create all of these lies around who you are and what you bring to the table and what you're about, because you're confident enough to say, this is what it is.
Right.
And this is what they did.
Well, I remember when I was growing up, and when I was going to elementary school, when I was going to middle school, and when I was going to high school, I remember people telling me, saying, you just act like you're some holier than thou. I said, excuse me?
I've heard that before. I've heard that before.
And I'm going, so that's a bad thing? That's a bad thing. So I'm going, it's what I choose. I don't like to go to the clubs. I did. I went once. I was terribly uncomfortable. I didn't like it. I don't like being around a lot of people in clubs, because usually back then there was no smoking regulation, so they were puffing on their cigarettes or whatever. And a lot of drinking was going on. There was a lot of, I looked at it as wasting time. I did. Because couldn't you destructive instead of being destructive? And a lot of these people who then, you know, were the party goers, they ended up being, you know, what I want to say, alcoholics, drug addicts. Most of my high school graduation class ended up that way. Because they were all party goers. They were the party animal. I wasn't. I didn't. I chose to rise above it. I didn't want it. Now, my sister, Farah, she did. She went the party route. She did. So just the difference in, you know, brother, sister. Other side of the coin, I guess you could say. But me? I didn't want to have any part of it. None. And so maybe I was holier than thou. Okay. I think that's a good thing. I chose to follow God. I chose to know this was not right for me. I did not feel comfortable in the situation. And this is it, people. The bottom line is, if you don't feel comfortable in a situation that you're placed in, get out of it. Get out of it. Don't stick around just because you want to keep up with the Joneses, or you want to just go with the flow, as Jewel said, or you want to just, you know, fit in to the crowd. Because guess what? At the end of the day, that crowd ain't going to be there for you. No, they're not. You see, because everyone uses each other. And they do. And so family uses you. Friends use you. Coworkers use you. Because they see a difference in you. And they're trying to get you to that different level. Because then they fit in. They don't feel like they're the sore thumb. You know? Because if I can get one over, then they can say, hey, look, he can't say anything now because he's done the same thing as me. Get it? No. I don't get it. I won't get it. Not ever again. I'm with God. I say my prayer every morning. I put it to bed. God has my day. Amen, amen, amen. And this podcast has been a platform for me to state those things to other people. And so that's what I'm saying. People, this platform is for you. It is for God to be giving through us, speaking through us, through our voice. He's speaking to you. Volumes. And it's up to you. You have the will. He gives you free will. You can either turn it off, not listen to it, or let it sink in. And realize at the end of the day, when you sit down and you say your prayer, whenever time you do it, just realize this. There'll be a time when whatever decision that you made, and if it was the right decision, going toward God, you will have that victory. Otherwise, you're going to be separated, the wheat from the tares. And unfortunately, when they did harvest time, the tares were burned. Well, that's what God's going to do. He's going to make sure that these people who have chosen the worldly ways and they take the mark of the beast and they don't choose to turn back to God, well, judgment day's coming. And we all face judgments. We always do. But at the end of the day, my judgment's going to be, well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. I'll see you on the other side. Amen, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you all for all of your support. I know I haven't promoted my business in a while, but please feel free to contact me for the next travel vacation. And with that said, we're going to close out, and we look forward to sharing with you our next journey in our podcast next week. So thank you, guys. And until we talk again with Jewel, we're out. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.